Oi, oi, so we're still here. This is part two of our exclusive Dean Cox interview. Dean, welcome back to the Orient Outlook podcast. And so in the part one, we covered your early Orient career up until the end of the 14-15 season. So moving on to 15-16. So after a few weeks after the Swindon game, Fabio Liverani gets sacked and then Hendon was appointed our manager. So first things first, did you ever think of leaving Orient in the summer?
No. Never thought about it at all.
Brilliant.
Had chances, but I've never engineered myself to engineer it, but been contacted via club.
So obviously Ian coming in, how did he approach it? Did he sort of sit everybody down and just run through?
I actually met him at Errol's game, Charlton game. I've just come off my stag do from Vegas, as you do, and
congratulations, by the way.
I was quite ill, so I don't know what the catcher's sort of image of me was like. I probably looked a bit rough, but I met him just to have a word, just to see what he was, just feel each other out. Spoke about the team, spoke about what we wanted to achieve, what the plans were, and that was great. And then that's it. We come back for pre-season.
Brilliant. So we are now obviously just over a third of the way through the season, I think we are now.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on us so far? We're still seventh.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we had the fantastic start. 5 wins in a row. And it's a very difficult division. It's a lot more robust. It's a lot of teams play very direct. But obviously the results at the minute haven't been good enough, and obviously we know that we need to pick up some results and quick.
Is it harder playing in League 2 than League 1 in a weird way, because it's such a different type of football?
I'd say so, yeah, for me, definitely. There's a lot more, they don't seem to care as much as tackles. They just go through you. They don't seem to have no respect. Just bang, see you later, and off the ball you go, But I've noticed the pace of it's a little bit slower. So maybe fitness-wise, it's easier, but definitely more robust. And you come up. I mean, I know I'm small, but every time I'm in the tunnel and I look to my left, I'm thinking, Jesus, are we in WWE or something? God, what have these guys been eating? It is what it is. But like I said, we had a good start, and we're seventh at the moment, and that's nothing to be sniffed at. That's a good position to be in, and we know we need to pick up some results. I mean, it's the next few games, obviously York at home, Plymouth away, and then obviously Wimbledon at home. If you can get sort of 7 points, 6 points, that's a good return for me. So hopefully we can achieve that.
Absolutely. And I guess on a personal note for you, you had a great start to this season, winning Player of the Month in August. For Sky Bet, and you've won a few goal of months in terms of your free kicks.
Yeah. Come on, I don't know where they come from, lads, but don't ask me anything about them.
We're starting
against
Dagenham.
I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Yeah, you had the one against Dagenham that was a superb free kick, and then you followed it up a couple of weeks later with the one against Northampton that was even better, and then a week and a half ago against Staines,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a strange one, and a lot of people have said about it. I don't practice them.
You don't practice free kicks?
I don't practice them. No, I don't practice them. Not shooting. I can't, because it's not real life. I can't find it hard just to shoot a goal with no goalie there. I just don't see the point.
That's a podcast exclusive.
I can't get myself to do it. I mean, and obviously the lads have had a bit of banter with me, and they don't even practice them, and you're scoring them. What are you doing, But I think once the first one goes in, you just get the confidence, if you know what I mean. And the ones that I have scored have been in similar situations, similar distances from the goal, and similar angles. I like the angle, obviously, whipping it, coming over and back out. Obviously, it's nice for the right foot to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I did think you was unlucky on that Sky Sports programme when that presenter saved that free kick. Yeah. That was top corner, mate, all the way.
Yeah, no, I think that's from me. The gaffer told me I was off free kicks after that, after he saved it. So I've redeemed myself, I think, after that.
More than, absolutely. So it's clear to see you obviously enjoying your football. And what's kept you motivated?
I just love playing. There's no better feeling. I said to the wife just before we done this, I don't know what I'm going to do when I have to retire. I really don't know. I'm going to have to kick a ball of some sort. I've got to do something.
Masters.
I just love playing. It's just the love of the game. Love playing. Love playing, hate losing. If it's 5-a-side in a training, if it's a crossing and finishing exercise, I've got to win it. I've got, you know, it's competitive. I've got to do it. And obviously, I've been here so long. I just love playing for it. You know, I've been here so long. The club that's given me my chance, and I feel like I've got my career back on track, and people, you know, I've got my name out there, people know who I am, and hopefully, you know, the performances I do, that people enjoy it. That's the main thing for me, that people go away from the game and go, oh, Coxie did this, or oh, Coxie did that, you know, that you want to get people out of their seats, and hopefully I do that more than I don't.
Absolutely,
I think
you do.
I think there's a lot of love for you out there, Dean. I think the fans really appreciate you sticking by the team when, you know, as you said, there were clubs who have probably been in for you, and probably more who we don't know about, and, you know, and what you do generally, it's just amazing. So also, league's not going too badly in 7th, and also in the FA Cup, but a home tie in the second round, which could be winnable, looks winnable.
Yeah, absolutely. We're taking anyone at home. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, the lads have got a few games before that, but no, that's winnable for us, I feel. You know, we go out and do what we've been doing, and with a bit more end products and tighten up a bit of the back, we'll be all right.
And I guess the expectation this season, as Hendon has said many times, is we want promotion, we want to get out of that league.
Well, that's it, yeah, absolutely. There's no if or buts, that's it. There's nothing more to say. That was it from day one. It's still the target now. Just got to make sure that, like I said, we stay in that top seven. Can we get 6-7 points that sneak us up to maybe fourth? Yeah. And then you're floating around to the top three. That's where you want to be. And if you can make sure you maintain that till January, February, then you've got the run in. And, you know, it's anyone's. Then it's the most consistent team from that sort of January, February time. You know, they get that top three and.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be the aim, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been a few difficult games, but in particular with yourself, what happened at Morecambe?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've left out. I wasn't, as the manager said, I wasn't training well enough, so that's it. I mean, I was a bit surprised, I'm not going to lie, but I mean, he said I hadn't been training well enough, so.
It seems like a manager who tells it how it is, I guess, in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's quite black and white, which is fair enough, which is probably I prefer. Like, you don't want someone sort of string you along. If that's what you think, then that's no problem. Yeah. So I sat with the fans, and obviously Payne got a lucky goal, but a goal was a goal, and we won the game.
When we publish this, tell him to listen. It's eight minutes into the second bit. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. Okay, well, that's fair enough. So moving on now a little bit. Obviously, we're only a little bit into yep. this season. So just a sort of a couple of quick fire ones, really. Who is or who's been your best mate at Orient?
Jimmy Smith.
And would that say in general as well for football?
Yeah, no. Jimmy Smith and Wes Fulton is at Yeovil. I come through with him at Brighton. Those two definitely.
Cool.
And what is it? They just make you laugh. They just crack you up.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, Jimmy was quite good to me. I mean, when I first moved to Orient, I was trying to get a flat, and he put me up a couple of nights, well, more than a couple of nights, a lot of nights, and he probably got sick of me in the end, to be honest, and he used to pick me up. Obviously, I don't drive, so he was in Woodford, so I made sure I lived in Southwood so he could come pick me up. So, yeah, he used to pick me up. I mean, he's done a lot for me, he's a top lad. It's a shame that when he left when he did, but in football people move on. So, but no, I'm definitely them two.
Yeah, most memorable moment at Orient.
Oh dear. I'll have to have two. That's definitely the Arsenal and the second leg of the playoff semi.
Yeah.
Two great nights. Two, you know, fantastic nights for the football club. For me, for sure, will live long in the memory of, you know, just a great night.
I think long after we're not here anymore on this planet, I think that night will go down in Orient folklore. Massively.
Yeah, absolutely, it will.
It definitely helps me being injured at the moment, and sort of you sit there like I do on the plane, and sometimes you need to need a bit of inspiration, and sometimes you sit there and just think, you know what, it is all worth it. You know, with moments like that, and you know, you pray for more, and I hope there's some more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. So, best goal for Orient. I think you did a top five last year in the programme, but obviously there's been a few since then.
It's got to be the halfway line, isn't it? I can't see past that, really. My free kicks. Yeah, I sound like I'm gloating now. I don't. Obviously, my free kicks as well. I mean, I love any goal, really. I love scoring goals. It's a nice feeling. So. But yeah, if I had to pick one, it's got to be that. I can't be a fool to say anything else, really.
Yeah, it's like a FIFA goal, isn't it, where you pick it up and just press that circle button and just...
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Press it down as hard as you can, like, for you.
It goes in.
So I was watching that goal compilation today, and I noticed that you've got two main celebrations in what I think. You've got the knee slide.
I've always done that, yeah.
And you've also got the sprint and run, where you score an
easy point. Yeah, yeah. That was Hunter Hartley for, wasn't it? The tapping.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
There's a few like that.
No, it's normally the knee slide, to be fair.
Is that something that you learnt as a kid that you just enjoyed doing?
Yeah, it's just something I've always done. I don't know why. Perhaps that's why my right knee's a bit weak and I've done my knee. I don't know.
I have to say, I do always think that I wish players wouldn't slide on their knees, because I always think that something's going to go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you do get a terrible grass burn. I'm not too sure it's too worth it, but no, I mean, I'll continue that on. I'll have to I'll give it a few months after coming back and make sure the knees are right first.
Exactly. Do you see yourself moving into management potentially one day? Is that something that interests you?
It does, yeah. It certainly does.
So potentially?
Whether or not a manager, coach, but yeah, I'd like to do that. Obviously, I'm also interested with the kids because it's less pressure. I'd like to just enjoy it, which obviously, you know, you see managers that are always on their phone and takes over their life a bit. Obviously, with playing, it's similar to that, and I don't know whether I might just want to chill out and maybe do something different, but I think I'll find it hard to... I think that's what the wife wants me to do, but I think I'll overrule her. my love for the game, and it'd be great to manage.
Yeah, it's clear from this interview that you're very passionate about football, and I think you make a great manager. Favourite ground to score at, not Wembley or Brisbane Road?
Favourite ground? NMO for Leeds.
Oh, nice. Right.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
Big ground.
That was good. It was alright. That was for Barton. But, I'd sort of purpose out there, yeah.
Yeah, we're unlucky there on the road. Alright, so that's our questions done. So, like we've said before, loads of listeners' questions. So, we'll start off with our first email, which is from Christine Dewis. This isn't so much of a question, but she sent an email saying, I don't have a question for you as such, but I want you to know that without you, Leighton Orient, we would not survive this season, in my opinion. You are talented. Your Coxie specials are just perfection. Your delivery is spot on, which is missed when you are not playing. You're a pleasure to watch, and most of all, you want to play and give it your all. You're like Scott McLeish. You're here, there, and every you know where, and I can't keep up. Well done, and long may you reign supreme at the O's. So that was a message from Christine.
Oh, that was lovely. Thanks so much, yeah. Well, it's great. That's something that makes it all worthwhile, you know, when you put everything in.
Sure.
You do, when you do things like that, that it makes you spur to do it more. So thanks very much.
Cool.
So, from Twitter, you've probably seen many of these. Yeah. So, at Matty LOFC Evans asks, will you stay at Orient for the rest of your career, or could you see yourself at another club?
I don't think I could see myself. Not sitting here now, no. It'd be weird to go somewhere else. Obviously, I've got another year in my contract next year. I'd love to sign a new one.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. I guess moving on in the same kind of direction, at Len M4 and at LOFC Chaz and Julian Fern. So three people asked the same question. What has made you love Orient so much?
I think the experiences that you share, you know, it's, when you first sign for a club, you don't envisage what I've gone through and what we've achieved, and obviously we had the relegation as well. But you don't know what's coming, and it's just since day one, a bit of the same sort of took to me, and you know, it just went from there really. And like I said, it's just a both way thing. I mean, I love playing, you know. I've been here so long, I enjoy every game, and that's why I'm devastated. I can't let the lads this season, because it's going to be very frustrating. What you will do, you will hear my voice. There's no two way I'll be shouting the boys on. You won't be able to see me running out there, but I'm sure you'll be able to hear me. but no, it's just, I've really enjoyed myself. It's just one of those, like I said, you've been here so long, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, and long may it continue.
Brilliant. Absolutely. It's music to our ears. At Alb 5399 says, what are your aspirations you want to achieve by the end of your career with Orient?
Well, I want a promotion. As simple as that.
Simple.
Yeah.
Whichever way I can get it, I want promotion, because like I said, I feel responsible for the relegation. I feel like we're even if I get it back.
One cancels the other out. At Orient Fan TV asks, if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be and why?
Maybe be a bit taller. So many balls that have just gone over my head. I could have had a few more goals on my CV, which would be good. So yeah, probably a bit taller, back post headers.
At Euro Orient says, best manager you've played under? So it doesn't have to be at Orient, right. It could be anywhere.
I think that speaks for itself, yeah. Definitely Russell.
Yeah, we had that written down, but we thought we'd still ask it anyway.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a big row with Russ? We have got biggest row with a manager, but have you ever had any head to heads with Russ?
Yeah, many.
And is that kind of what makes your relationship so good?
Well, I think so. Yeah, we have them, and then the next day or that night, he might text me and say, "Oh, you little, what's it? You know, get on with it. You know, keep your mouth shut. Come in the morning. Sorry, Gaffer, and that's it. Forgotten."
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it should be as well.
One of those. He's a lovely bloke. Don't get me wrong. But he has got that fire in his belly. I think I'm painting him too good a picture here.
Feel free to say something else.
He can definitely give a rollicking. Don't you worry about that. That's for sure.
At Orient Braces says, you moved away from the training ground and you don't drive. So what do you read? What do you read on the train on your commute, or what do you do?
I saw that one. It made me chuckle. That did. No, just a simple. I'm a family man, and my mum and dad are around the corner. My sister's pregnant. She's gonna have a baby in the summer. I just wanted to be a part of it.
Brilliant. Obviously,
not driving and being in London, it's difficult to get back every day.
Have you just never interested in driving?
I haven't. Do you know what? A lot of people say this, and I did start when I was 17, but then it sort of just petered out, and obviously being where I am, it wasn't too far to Brighton, so I wasn't really too fast. And I mean, like I said, I mean, tomorrow I'll get the train at 6:30, and you know, I'll arrive at the training ground for 8:00. So it's not too bad for me. It's not. I mean, people might think it is. I mean, I've got to be honest, when I've done it for the first time, for the first couple of weeks, I thought, Coxie, what are you doing? but I've got used to it. I mean, I get to the station, I grab my paper. I listen to your podcast, I put some music on. You know, you've got things that will get you through the journey. And the main reason was just to be around my family, and especially at Christmas time. You know, I've missed out on I probably have to say the main reason is because Mum keeps a cracking Christmas dinner, so
very nice, very nice.
I've been missing out on that for the few years that I've been down there, because it's difficult for them to come up, because obviously with everyone here. So basically just to be around my family, and it's not too far. I mean, people might say it is, but it really isn't.
I was glad you mentioned listening to the podcast, because I was going to throw that in there as a Monday morning
yeah
show.
No, I do. I mean, like I said, I listen to Kev's, and I'll listen to Russell's if you do him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. At PDR 1112 asks, What's the best free kick you've scored for the Orient, and why are you so good at them?
I haven't got the answer to the why. I'd only say the best one because at Dagenham, obviously, the fans are right behind the goal and the celebration after. And obviously, they're our rivals, aren't they? So, any goal against them, but for it to be a nice free kick like that was extra special.
Yep. We've got a question from at Jaden Christie 13. I think we've already answered that in terms of this season, in terms of expectations. So next one is from R.D. Mander. It says, which division will Orient be in when your testimonial match is played at the club?
Testimonial?
You're halfway there now.
Sorry?
You're halfway
Yeah, I know, you're right. Yeah, at the end of this, that'll be 6 years. Well, let's hope we're as high as we can be. I mean, Championship would be nice. League One. And as long as we're out of this division and we're progressing.
Yep, absolutely.
That'd be good.
This is a great question, actually. At Why Always G, who would form the best 11 that you have played with at Orient?
I knew you were going to ask me that, but I've written it down.
Written it down.
Do you know in front of me. So it's a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
I've gone for Eldin in goal.
Eldin.
Uzi, Clark, Baldry, Charlie Daniels.
Nice.
Moses, Stephen Dawson, Lloyd James. I'll put myself in there.
Yeah.
And then I've put Moons and Lisby.
Yeah, perfect.
But there would have been a few of the lads that are there now, to be fair. But
you've got seven on the bench.
Played with them for so long, so maybe if you ask me if we do another one in a couple of years, I might update it. But that would be my if that team was fit. That would cause problems for sure. That's a good team, that, for me.
Strong team.
As you included Eldin. Any chance of a rendition of Bosnia's number one for old time's sake?
I mean, what a keeper, eh?
What a great keeper.
Oh, phenomenal.
He done a great job for us. He was the ultimate professional, very vocal and a top lad. And like I said, we were lucky to have him at that time, a top keeper.
Yeah,
really good.
At Pillarental asked, what's the highest level of football that you think you could cope with?
I think I could play in the Championship,
Agreed.
Yeah.
I had a chance with Peterborough. Obviously, that was well documented. It turned out down. That was the first season. Yeah. And then this summer, just gone Preston and turned that down. I mean, a lot of people say, would you regret it? Not really, because I'm enjoying my football and sometimes the grass isn't always greener.
Yeah, I mean,
100%.
Fair enough. The difference being, obviously, better stadiums and, you know, this, that and the other. But I'm happy with my wife, I'm happy at home, I'm happy at the football club.
That's the main thing.
I didn't really want to rock the boat, and you know, you live and die by your decisions, and that's what I've done.
Absolutely. Angel Davis 2412 says, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
I won't be playing, that's for sure. At 38, I won't be running down that wing. If I'm playing, I'll have to tuck in somewhere else out of the way, I think. I won't be able to keep running up like that.
Done your badges, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm looking to do them in the next couple of years, so that we'll get them done. I mean, like I said, to the coaching maybe. If Francesco Pichetti's still the chairman, I might have to try and sweet talk him and try and get a coaching role with the kids or anything, if I can help the kids or anything like that.
Nice.
At Nige Edridge asks, what's the team spirit like in training, and do all the players really get on well?
Yeah, no, good team spirit, good bunch of lads, yeah, definitely. Good laugh and a joke, and we've had a few nights out, and team spirit and things like that. And so, yeah, no, it's good.
It's always something that we picked up from Russ, that was, you know, you got ability, we'll take you, you know, so far, but then, you know, if not everyone's pulling in the same direction, it obviously makes it almost an uphill struggle despite ability.
So yeah, no, definitely. I think that's half the battle, mate, to be honest. Mm. If you can get that, then, you know, you're on to a winner, really. And like you say, then your ability and that sort of shines through from that.
Yeah. At Joe the Bag asks, sort of along that line, out of all the LOFC players and staff, who makes you laugh out loud the most? Who's the funniest? Who's got the best banter?
So that's... Can that go back to when I first signed? Can it? All those players. I've got to say Terrell Forbes.
Really?
Oh, my good Lord. I'm telling you. You need to go out for a beer with him. He is hilarious. I've never seen dance moves like it.
Is that a good thing or a bad in a bad
yeah,
way?
Yeah, no. I'm telling you, he can move. He's got some... I mean, I'm just the one two-step bloke in the corner, you know, but he's got some rhythm, the boy. I'll tell you, yeah, no, definitely Forbes. He always had a smile on his face. He's a top lad.
Brilliant. At Spenno... 011 asks, I took my 4-year-old to his first footy session at West Hove Dynamos on Saturday, wearing his O shirt. Straight away, a coach asked about you as he remembers training you at the BHA youth setup at the age of 12 years old. Every time I mention LOFC in Brighton and Hove, you're the first name they mention with fondness. Would you like to return someday?
I think the honest answer would be yes, of course I would.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, with your hometown club, it would be great if I could, but I'm realistic. You know, they're right at the top of the championship and they're absolutely flying. But I'm more than happy where I am. Like I said, I've loved every minute of it and I don't want it to end.
Cool, absolutely. At David 12 Lloyds, was there any player that influenced you in your career?
Yeah, definitely. For me, Kevin Lisby. A massive amount. Didn't really have to say much, Kev. He's just got that all about him. He just oozes class. Very professional, the way he conducted himself, the way he looked after his body at his age. Again, he's probably going to kill me for saying that, but, you know, he's blokes his age, you know, body fat was always low. He looked after himself. And he's a great role model, and he would always speak to you whatever time of the day. You could pick up the phone. If you had a problem, it'd be, oh, this wing, Kev. You know, he'd have the answer. And especially on the pitch, obviously people see sometimes I can lose my temper. but he had a subtle way of getting me to shut up. He'd do it in a nice way. Forget it, Coxie. Just, you know, concentrate on your football, blah, blah, blah. Definitely him.
He said he was very complimentary of you, actually, when we interviewed Kev. But he did say when you first joined, there was a bit of fisticuffs between the two of you.
Yeah, there was, yeah. We didn't see eye to eye for the first, few months. And there was an altercation. And it sort of made us, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we'd never really spoken about it, but if we were to, I think after that, we were quite close. We'd always speak. We always used to sit at the back of the coach, and he's been there and done it. So the experiences that I'm going through sort of now, and he was the first one I turned to for the injury, and he told me, look, Coxie, I know what you're like. You want to get back as soon as you can. You've got to let it settle down. You've got to calm down, keep your head, go in, do your job, come home, you know, treat your missus, try and take your mind off of the fact that you're out for so long. And obviously, when things progress, you feel like you're getting somewhere. He's just got that. I said about the knack of him being in right. He's got the right thing is the knack of saying what you want to hear. Mm. And you know, when it comes from someone, so for me, you know, he's so high profile. I couldn't believe I'd be playing with him.
Mm.
You know, he's had such a great career. You're in awe of him. I'm sitting in the same dressing room as Kevin Lisby.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the same room as he's got hat trick against Liverpool, which you don't stop going on about, by the way. you know, but on a serious note, he's a top quality player. You know, he's been there and done it at the highest level.
Yeah. That nearly
and
didn't.
You're
happen.
Sitting next to him.
Yeah,
wicked bloke.
And that nearly didn't come off either.
No.
So interesting how it all comes about.
Absolutely.
We had a question from Boatsy who asked, what manager had the biggest influence in your career and why? I think there's
probably obvious,
a bit of an obvious answer.
Yeah, no, definitely. And why? Because he just knew how to handle me. He was the man of management. He'd go that extra sort of bit with me to make sure it was all right. And obviously on the pitch, it was the freedom to go and do what I want, you know, what I could do. He allowed me to... Normally when I was playing out wide, I'll just stay out wide. But he was encouraging me to come inside, get on the ball. And, you know, he opened up another page for me to, you know, improve my game on, really.
Cool.
At Leytonstonian says, I'm 6'8" and you're not. Do you think you've had to work harder as a footballer because of your height?
Well, I definitely wouldn't be marking him at corners, that's sure. I don't know. I think maybe, I'm not too sure. Like I said, because I was smaller, obviously I knew that I was lacking there, but I made sure that in other areas of my game, I'd make it better so that wouldn't affect me as much. So like I said, my first touch, my awareness and the speed of thought and where you're going to put the pass the ball, because obviously you can be as tall as you want, but if you can't pick a pass, if you can't control the ball, you know, you might as well go and be a basketball player, you know, if you can't do the, you know, the essentials, and especially, you know, like League Two, for me, I've sort of had to, you know, probably do more upper body weights. I'm having to try and cope with, you know, you've got to adapt. Every season and every game is a different challenge.
Yeah. Cool. At OrientSteve72 asks, if you were Bichetti for the day, what changes would you make to the club?
I'd give myself a 10-year contract. I don't know. It's tough. I'd probably say that. I'd talk myself out and then see what the lads wanted. I'd sort out a few of the lads.
Nice move.
Touch.
At Jay Lillington sent some quick fire questions. Ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup.
Sausage or bacon sarnie?
Sausage.
What aftershave do you use?
I can't find my wash bag. I'm
hobbling
around, it might be a while.
Sorry, don't worry about the wash bag.
No, I'll find it. It's only in here. Where is it?
An exclusive Dean Cox going through his wash bag.
There you go.
Yeah, just going through it now, lads, yeah. Paco Rabanne. Is it called?
Yeah, that's the one, yep.
Yeah,
that's the one, yeah. And it's not me, it's the wife. She likes
that one, so she buys it for it. Very
nice.
Very nice, yeah.
That's how we
work.
And lastly,
when playing, jockstrap or boxers?
Oh, right, a jockstrap.
Right,
yep.
Fair enough.
Good questions, Jay.
Yeah, at @ChrisKane_1992 said, despite the disappointment, mildly put, of last season, what made you commit to the club for this season? You must have had offers, but obviously I think we've really covered that. So at @Caroline13B asks, do you think we could do with an electronic scoreboard at the stadium?
This Caroline B is obsessed with this electronic scoreboard. She asked Alessandro, and I think she's asked it before.
Yeah, when we interviewed Alessandro, she asked about that as well. So
I think for me, I'd like it. I think if you... Because you do pay attention. Obviously, if it's 1-1 or whatever, and it's the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're running with the ball and you look up and you see, oh, there's only 5 minutes left. Well, then I'm getting it out of my feet and I'm going to lump it in the box.
Yeah.
You know, I would have one.
So
I must admit, I do like to know.
Right. So she went on to saying that in another tweet. She said, if we had one, would you notice it during games? And what I'm getting at is, if it had a digital clock showing the time remaining, would this help the player? So you've kind of really answered that for her.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah, you would. I think so, definitely.
Just to come back to that, in a match, how do you know how much time has it gone if there's not a scoreboard? Is Hendon kind of telling you?
I'm always, don't worry about that, I'm always in the rest here. You don't get a minute's peace with me there. Especially if we're winning, I don't know, 2-1 or whatever, and it's in the end, hey, you, come on, that's it, that's enough. I'll just try and get into his ear, you know. But
He probably has earache every ref that refs us after I've been shouting him.
At @D_Blundell says, my question for our treasured Dean Cox is, do you think social media is a blessing or a curse for the professional footballer?
Well, it can be both if you let it. For me, it's one of those, listen, if you've had a bad game, you know it. You don't need to be told, but you put yourself on the social media, so you're going to get it. You're going to get it. So if you don't want those sort of tweets and you don't want to be, then you shouldn't have it. But I enjoy it. For me, I enjoy it because I take the rough with the smooth. You know,
exactly,
yeah. I'm quite honest enough. And if someone says you were crap, and I'll tweet him back and say, yeah, you're right, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those. Some people might not be able to mentally take it. You know, they might bite back. It could escalate into something big. I'd never let it escalate into anything bigger than the comment they said. If that's what they want to say, then that's what they want to say.
Yeah. Spot on attitude there.
Yeah. So we had the same question in from @MagnusPugner and Dax Dudar. Says, what is the best atmosphere created by fans that you've played in, and what's the worst atmosphere?
The best is definitely, again, I hate going back to it because it's bad memories. The playoff semi, definitely. Yeah. When that goal went in, it was absolutely unbelievable. I'm trying to think of the worst. I played in some bad reserve games when I was younger, and one man and his dog there, so... I'll probably stick it on one of them.
At Aquinas, has ever asked, has Russell Slade ever been in contact about coming to Cardiff?
No. We've spoke as friends, but never to leave here to go there. He'd know the answer anyway.
It's too far from Brighton.
Yeah, no, that's it. No, I'm happy where I am. Listen, unless anything majorly goes wrong, but no, I'm happy.
So next question comes in from MB Quain that says, hi Dino, what are your ambitions with Leighton Orient, and where do you see Orient going as a club?
Well, I want promotion, and I'm hoping, you know, in the right direction. We've come off a bad season last year, and we're trying to regain the pieces and build again, and that's what the gaffer's done. He's brought in a lot of players, and it started off really well, and don't get me wrong, we all know it's a sticky patch, but we'll come good again. And I said in the interview this morning, actually, you know, the Christmas period, this sort of period with a lot of games and with a lot of points up for grabs, that table can change ever so quickly. So you know, a bit of patience. I understand it. We know it hasn't been good enough, but stick together, you know, and every time we play at home and away, we get that atmosphere going, and we'll pick up more points.
Absolutely. I like this question, and we had a few different people ask this one. So from @05Callum97, says, you are by far the fans' most loved player and will certainly be mine forever, but do you like the Tiny Cox song?
I keep getting asked. I don't mind it. People don't think I don't like it. I don't mind it. It's just one of those that's stuck.
Yeah.
If that's what they want to sing, I don't mind. It's a song about me. It's just the way you perceive it, lads. listen, it's fine. They can sing what they want. They sing that. They shout Dino. They can, you know.
Yeah.
Not a problem to me.
Yeah, it's all meant in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
So, @GiorgioOwen77 said, who's the best left-back you've played against?
Against?
Yeah.
That is tough. I'll have to say, when we played Everton in the Carling Cup, Leighton Baines.
Yeah, tough player.
I'd say he is defensively... When you watch on telly, he doesn't look that great. To be fair, but he is. Unless I had a really bad game that night. he was bombing forward. I remember trying to track him back. I actually said to him, look, come on, Bainesy, calm down, mate. You know what I mean? And he just laughed at me. I said, definitely him.
Brilliant. At Harlow Orient says, if you could play in the same team with one player, past or present, who would it be and why?
Oh, that is tough, isn't it?
Just one player, yeah. It's not a whole team now.
I've got to say Mo.
Moses, yeah.
I just got to say, because I mean, training with him every day, and I just love to see him running down that wing. When he was here, he used to save my legs. I used to just be able to just turn up in the box, and hopefully it turned up and it come to me. Now I've got to do a bit more work. He used to do my leg work.
I always noticed that he was always last man back for obvious reasons, and I always used to see them, the opposing team, try to counter, and their man thought he was being really clever. They obviously hadn't done their homework on Moses. So Moses' turn and sprint, and I knew as soon as the guy had kicked the ball past Moses that he'd lost it and we'd got possession back, just because
of
how quick.
Yeah, that's the thing
with
him, yeah.
So fast.
Yeah, but that's the thing with him training. You've got to, you know your players. With him, you've got to try and shift your footwork and make him move. If you push it down, it was just embarrassing. I mean, I've done it a couple of times in training, and then I'll just laugh. I'm like, well, you might as well have it, mate. There you go. It's just one of those. He's just got that pace, and obviously, like you say, that's why he was on the halfway line. Anything over the top, you know, he'd just sweep it up, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. At LOFC 1881 asks, did you expect us to retain more of the 14-15 squad when you agreed to stay this season, or that we'd recruit more?
I mean, I did an interview, I think, into the season. I think I definitely would have kept Elliot, Liz, and Moons. For me, that's my opinion, but obviously, I'm not too sure why not. But I would have kept them, I think. Yeah. I think they had something to offer, especially in League Two.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
You know, obviously, you know, Moons has obviously gone to Southend in League One. But no, definitely those three would have been good for us.
Okay, this is quite a good one. At All In Ginge asks, what's the largest animal you could throw over the crossbar?
My favourite question.
Largest animal? I think my dog, Hugo. French bulldog, that'd be about it.
We do get asked.
He's been doing my head in recently. I might bring him down to Brisbane Road and do it.
Hugo does come up later on in the questionnaire. Someone did ask about Hugo.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. He's sleeping at the moment. Thank God.
At Kevin Cowan asks, if you stay at the O's another 5 years, you could break Peter Allen's league appearance record of 432. Would you like that chance? I think it's pretty
self-explanatory. Do you know how many am I on at the minute?
I think you're on about 26. You must be between 260 and 270, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Well, obviously, someone wrote that the other day. It's a hell of a lot of games, and if I could do it, then great. You know, obviously, I'm going to be held back a bit this season. But no, obviously, if that comes, then that would be great. But just to play as many as I can will be enough for me. But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you get a bit closer, then it would be nice. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. At Sam Harbour 97 says, what does it feel like to be an Orient legend?
I don't really count myself as one, to be honest. You know, as a player, you just play. Do you know what I mean? And people, you know, either like you or they don't. Because I've been here so long, I think they've had to just like me because I've been here so long.
Because you're not going away anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. But no, listen. It's not like I said. If they enjoy the way I play, that's enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely. At GForce_Shiv says, if you could play any game of 2015 again, which would it be and why?
Oh, playoff semi-final. That goal again, get that feeling, the buzz, and obviously the elation of the crowd, the pitch invasion, the singing on the. If you could give me that again, I'd be over the moon.
Yeah, amazing, mate.
At Stan23 Martin, why do I get the difficult question? Did you like Gianvito Plasmati?
As a man, yeah. As a player, he was frustrating.
Right.
But as a bloke, he was lovely. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think he found it hard to settle. And that's why he eventually left the same season.
Mm. Okay. At N Ramsden says, under the two previous managers, were there any standout moments, either in training or a game, that made you think, oh, OMG, this guy doesn't know what he's doing? I tried to kind of...
um, No, not a standout. It was just a very, very difficult time. Obviously, results and the language barrier was difficult. I wouldn't say a standout. If I had to pick one thing, I would say, obviously, for the lads, the communication was tough to handle.
Yeah.
So here's the question about Hugo. It comes in from @bobat75. He says, do you pick up Hugo's poo as well as you cross a ball?
I'd like to think so. We'll have to ask Hugo. We'll have to wake him up.
Hugo.
No, listen. I think
that needs no further comment. That's cool.
At Gingery ID 81 says, who's the best striker you've ever played with? The striker who you knew would be in the box when you put a cross in. I think we probably know the answer to that.
Yeah, King Kev.
Yeah.
Buchan JP says, would you advise youngsters to join a Premier League academy or a smaller team to get first team experience sooner? Brilliant.
Yeah, I definitely a smaller club. I think this under 21s, this is a bit of a waste of time for the boys. If they're good enough to be at clubs like that at that age, then they can go and play full time football in League 2 and 1. Why not go and be seen and enjoy a match day experience rather than playing, you know, in friendlies? Because a lot of the boys think, I'm playing for Man City, but then the kid is same age, is playing League One and scoring goals in League One. I mean, I know where I'd rather be in League One scoring goals, and if you're good enough and it's meant to be, then you'll get there in the end.
But absolutely.
I think a lot of boys, you know, they end up wasting a few years just sitting there and thinking, you know, my time will come, and unfortunately sometimes that time doesn't come, and then where do you go from there? It's difficult to, you know, orchestrate a career from that, unless, you know, if you're seen in the main demeanour of playing league football, people can, you know, tar the brush with you saying, look, I've seen him in League One, he's good enough for League One, that's no problem, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people think different, but for me, if and I have kids, and God forbid, I hope I do get a son, because he will be kicking the ball. That's what I'll be saying to him, you know.
Absolutely.
Mossy LJ says, what has it been like having Kevin Nolan in training?
It's been good. I mean, obviously, he's at the arch enemy, so he gave him a bit of stick for that. But he conducts himself very well. Being crossing and finishing, I don't think he misses his qualities there for us all to see. And I think the owners tried to throw a contract under his car and get him to sign, but he hasn't signed it at the minute, so I'm not too sure what's going on there. But no, listen, he is a Premier League footballer. Conducts himself well. He's just the ultra professional. He comes in and does his bit. He's joining in with the lads. He's actually paying fines. Ooh. So he's not, you know, if he comes in with his boots dirty, that's a tenner. He's paying it. You know, he's getting involved with the lads. And you wouldn't expect that. He's quite down to earth, you know what I mean. You'd think they'd have a bit of a, you know, Jack the Lad sort of attitude, but he's just a normal guy coming in and just doing his bit, and he goes home, you know.
Fair enough. You can't expect any more.
Yep.
Next question comes from Karen Harrison, who is the supporter liaison officer. She says, is there a reason why players don't come into the supporters club for a quick drink after the game? Dino can sometimes be found having a bottle of water and a chat with fans beforehand, and Romain used to pop in, but no one else. Why? We don't bite usually, and we'd like to welcome their families too.
I'm not sure. I mean, I've popped in a few times and shook a few hands and you know, sort of seeing what the fans are thinking, you know. I don't really know, to be fair. I mean, like I said, I've popped in. I don't know whether or not they want to just get home or not. I don't know. A lot of the lads' families stay up in the gallery. There's a little bit cut off up there, so with the kids, they can allow them to run around and sort of up there, so I don't know if that's the reason they just plop themselves up there after the game. I don't know.
Cool. So that was it from Twitter. So a few more on Facebook, Dean, not too many more. Louise Tienans asks, What made you become a Man United fan? And that's from Riley, age 7, so you probably know Riley.
Yeah, of course I know Riley, yeah, absolutely. It's just my fascination with David Beckham, really. He was my idol. So because he was playing for them, I'd always make sure if Man United were on the telly, Man United's on the telly, you know, I'd always be watching every game. And I still do now, even though he's not there, to be fair. So I have stuck to my guns. So everyone thinking I'm a glory hunter. I know they're having a bit of a blip at the minute. But hopefully Van Gaal can bring in some signings and we might win the league in a few years.
Gary Jeffrey on Facebook asked a question that you've already answered, but I'll read his message out because that's probably still relevant. He said, "Dean, you remain the last person to have made me cry at Wembley. When you broke down in front of me at the end of the game, I cried too." Which was a nice message, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, emotional bloke. It got the better of me and it just all come out. Like I said, you work hard, 42 games for the season to come down to that and to lose like that was... I mean, I've still not forgotten it. It's hard to forget. It's just a horrible, horrible feeling to feel so empty. And it was a horrible summer. I mean, I was getting married that summer. I remember my missus sort of saying to me the week leading up, I said, "Cheer up, we're getting married, you know." I said, "Well, it's not you." I said, "Yeah, obviously we've just lost in the playoffs." You know, I didn't really speak much. And, you know, mum and dad were a bit worried. They were coming around and checking on the right. I was just quiet, you know.
Yeah.
Me being quiet is a very strange feeling. Not used to me being quiet, but it was, yeah, you just feel empty. You feel, it's just hard to describe. You just feel, you know, you let everyone down and it's everything. Everything sort of just falls down at you at once. And it was, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it was hard to deal with. It was nice to obviously had the wedding to distract you, and then we had a lovely honeymoon. And you come back then, and you know, on the honeymoon, I'm kicking a ball with the locals. I want to get back into training. You know,
absolutely.
I was wanting to sort of, you know, get back, but it's one of those things.
Where did you go on your honeymoon? Just out of curiosity.
No, we went to Dubai and Maldives.
Oh, lovely,
very nice. Also on Facebook, Melvin Chambers asks. He'd like to know what Dean thinks of interaction with the fans, especially via Twitter, and are there tweets or gestures from fans that have touched his heart, made him laugh, or angry? And please tell him there is a Dutch politician called Tiny Cox. Yes, really.
Oh, I'll have to meet him.
T-I-N-Y-K-O-X. So the question was...
Cool. I mean, especially some of the ones that I've got from my injury, yeah, no, definitely.
Cool.
Been heartwarming, you know, it's not a nice feeling when I'm coming into work, but when you go on your social media and you see someone wishing you a speedy recovery and calling you a legend or, you know, going to miss your free kicks and send you a video of it or a picture of you celebrating or a video of the goal, it's... For me, it picks you up. I mean, it's hard for it not to, you know.
Mm.
You know, the memories we've shared with myself and the fans, it's been great. It's been a roller coaster, and there's a few more twists and turns to come, I'm sure.
Steve Beasley asks, how come you don't take many penalties?
Well, I'm not a very good penalty taker. I'm not very good. I took one for Brighton and I missed, and it put me off. If called upon, I would take one.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I don't know. I just don't think I'm a very good one. I mean, I haven't taken many, so that's why. I mean, look, there's no way I'd get the ball off Lloyd. He's very clinical from the penalty spot. So I haven't needed to take one, really. But if called upon, I would, yeah.
Cool. Steve Sherwin asks, what is your favourite position? Is it behind the striker or is it as a winger? And where do you feel you're most effective?
That's a very good question. I think this season I have enjoyed being in the hole. I have enjoyed that. I think you become a bit more involved than if you're on the wing. Sometimes the ball might not come out to you, or it's just one of those games. But with being in the centre, obviously the ball's dropping down there a lot, and I'm picking up things where
I was out on the wing, I probably wouldn't be. Especially in those first five games, I felt that we were passing the ball really well and using the diamond and utilising, you know, getting Shawnee down the right and Fraze down the left, and Lloydie was backing us up with Pritch and Sammy on the left of it, and obviously with Paul and Jay at the top. I thought it worked well. And maybe after those first five games, maybe teams had worked us out a little bit, and we had to change it up a little bit, which we have done. We've had to go, you know, some games. We were doing a diamond at home to Stevenage, I remember, and in second half, we went to 4-4-2, and we ended up winning the game 3-0. We didn't get the first goal, I believe, about the 70th minute.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in certain games, you've got to be able to be proactive. You know, if something's not working, whether it be you make a sub and you go 4-4-2, or make a sub and you go 4-3-3, or the diamond. And like I said, maybe that, not so much now, but after those first five games, I believe the little sticky patch we had, I think maybe teams had worked us out a little bit with that formation. It doesn't take much to say, well, you know, stick someone on Coxie. You know, Sean bombs forward and so does Frey, so let's put our two wingers on them so that stops them going forward. And obviously that limits the ability for us. And obviously Sean's been a big outlet for us on the right. He, you know, delivers a great crossing himself, very, very fast, and he's got an engine on him. He can do that all day. So maybe that's why we've had a bit of a sticky spell. And, you know, obviously the rub of the green and we haven't been as free scoring. It's all little bits, but they're only little bits. So that's why I've said about being a bit, you know, don't be too downbeat at the minute. And it's just fine-tuning that we need. And obviously, Jay's been on absolute fire. We need someone to take that burden off him a little bit. We need something, you know, goals from different areas. I feel to not put, you know, all our eggs in one basket, because it's difficult for him. I mean, he's got 11 goals already, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
So if we can get goals from other positions and he keeps scoring the way he is, I've got no doubt that we can, you know, go on a good run again.
Yeah, I think it's a bit difficult with Jay, because obviously, you know, you're normally good value for double figures, and I think McCallum was well on the way to a double figure season, if not 15 to 20 goals this year, until we
agree.
Yeah, no, I think Paul's been a big miss, definitely.
Mm.
I really do. He's got the whole package. He's young as well, so, you know, hopefully we can see that for years to come. But, you know, his hold-up play, and for a big man, he's good with his feet and obviously with his head, and we know all about that. With crosses in the box, he scored a few headers. So, no, I think he has been a big miss. But, like I said, it's all right. Like I said, the seventh, obviously we want to be first, don't get me wrong, but we're by no means down and out.
No.
You know, there's a lot of games and a lot of points to play for. So, you know, the lads just need to be a bit more confident and the results will come.
So, Jonathan Renner, sort of on a similar vein to what you're saying there, in terms of players that we don't have, but players that we do have, Jonathan Renner asks, could Moncurly and Cashgate et al. Be a golden generation of young players for the O's?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've done really well this year, and obviously, you know, they've been heavily involved.
Yeah.
Obviously, Scotty's had a bit more time than the others, and he's done really well, I feel, when he comes on. He gets in those... The thing with Scotty, he's got that knack of coming in short. He's got a good intelligent brain on him. He can get on the half turn. He can see a pass when he set up John Marquez against Staines. And he's quick. So, you know, obviously, he's done really well. He's got a nice touch. They've all been doing really well in training. And when young Freddie come on against Staines, you know, he's his energetic self. I call him the Duracell bunny. He just runs everywhere.
Wow.
The boy can run. In pre-season, he was absolutely flying. So he's deserved his chance, and he's taken it. He's done really well. And there's a good batch of youngsters, and, you know, with the right guidance from the manager and the coaching staff, there's no reason why they can't, you know, get better and better and force their way in the team.
Do you give them much advice and guidance? I guess as one of the senior players now, even though you're still quite young yourself, are they coming to you and asking you for
advice?
It's all right, mate. I am getting older. It's all right. I'm aging with my time at Orient. I've been here so long. No, listen, if, yeah, I speak to them, definitely, you know, and sometimes they come up to me and ask certain things, and, you know, I'll give them the best advice that I can give them. They, and if they take that on board, then great. But, you know, ultimately, the young players coming through, it's you get your chance, and it's a simple one that people always say, you either sink or you swim. It's one of those. You're only ever going to know if the player can cope is if they get their chance. So,
yeah.
Like I said, I believe that those boys have taken it, and with more experience and obviously training with us every day, that they're only going to get better and better advice through the experienced pros that we have got at the club.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. So Joe Daniel asks, do you miss the green arch at Newbury Park? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Yeah, no, I know
it
is.
It's,
yeah,
it's
no,
I've been taken down now.
I never used to go in there, by the way. I don't know why he's claiming that, but I always used to see him in there.
Oh, is that the pub opposite?
No. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think right, so. Yeah, the one down the road from it. Yeah.
Is that one there?
Oh, I thought it was at the station.
Right. Yeah.
Mitch Allen asked, with all the teams you've been linked with in the higher divisions, what's it about Leyton Orient that makes you reject them and stay with us? So that we've obviously already covered from earlier on, Mitch, so thanks for your question there. Mafioso from the forum would be interested in your views on driving.
On driving? I'm not too fast.
Fine answer, yeah.
That's cool.
I just haven't had to do it. I mean, when I was at Barn, I used to get lifts. Jimmy used to give me lifts the early stage of Orient, and then I didn't realise how good the trains were from here. And that's when I looked into it and made the decision that I'd move back and just commute. And I haven't really looked back. I mean, I might do it maybe a little later on, but it's not really. I'm not really too fast, mate. That's just me, you know.
That's fair. That's fine.
Yeah, at Costanza, this is my request, says, would you consider attempting a shot on target as early as the third minute, as I've been predicting 1-0 to Orient forever. Cox 3 minutes for 5 years in the official prediction thread. I would like to win it for once. So if you get a chance to put in the third minute for Costanza, you'd like a goal, please.
I'll take one from kickoff when I come back. I'll have a shot and see what happens.
Trelawn Road, also from the forum, it's a forum name. How often after home games, getting the tube back from Leyton, do you get collared by a boorish drunk who thinks, because he's a legend at Championship Manager, that he knows everything about football and has to ride all the way to Victoria listening to all his tactical genius?
Like I said, I'll get the train to games and from games, every game, every home game, after every away game. If it's too late, I'll stay in the local hotel. The club will put me up, and then I'll just go the next morning. Sometimes I do. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But normally they're not too drunk. It's normally Orient fans, and they just speak about the game, and
yeah,
I'll give them my opinion, and I'm normally with my missus and mum and dad, and, you know, we go on our way. You know, it's one of those.
Yep, and a last question, I guess, to round up, then. EAGWGW says, I would guess that Dean must be in a tiny minority of footballers that use public transport to get to training. So my question is based around that. I would like to know Dean's favourite train stations apart from Haywards, Heath and Brighton.
Well, I go into London Bridge a lot, and they've got a decent bagel man in there. So I normally catch one of them, grab one of them on my way home. So I'd probably say London Bridge.
There you go.
So
those are all our questions. Those are all the questions from the Orient fans as well.
And one more, Dean. Thanks for joining us. We know it's late, but do you have one message to give to the Orient fans?
Yeah, I'd say just for this season in particular, let's just, you know, all stick together and hope that the season ends in a good one. It's a shame that I can't be part of it, but I'll be there every week and cheering the boys on like they will. And, you know, every team goes through a difficult patch. And the thing that with Orient, we always stick together. So ever since I've been here, we've always stuck together. So it's not getting each other's backs. We're all trying to do a good job. The manager's working hard. All the staff, the chairman, all the players, all the staff, all the medical, the fitness. But, you know, we're all
you know, striving for that promotion, and that's what we've set out since day one, and that is still what we want, and we're not in a bad position. But I know we've had a sticky patch, like I've already said, but a lot of games and a lot of points still up for grabs, so let's hope that the next few weeks we build a run and go on, and I hope I'm on the pitch come the end of the season.
With your medal.
With a medal and with a knee that can actually function properly, so that'd be great. Yeah,
that's the most important thing, is just getting back fit and healthy now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed, Dean. We really appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Dean. And as I say, the word legend probably gets bandied around a bit too easily, but you really are. And you can see from the fans' engagement and how many questions we had that, you know, the fans really appreciate you giving us like your time and giving it up. And that's one of the reasons why you're loved at Leyton Orient, and you always will be. So on behalf of us and all the fans, thank you very much.
No problem. Cheers, love.